Hi, I'm Daryl Cagle, and this is the Cagle Cast, where we're all about political cartoons, and we have three brilliant returning editorial cartoonists, Adam Ziglis, Randy Enos, and Rick McKee, who will be showing us their brilliant Trump cartoons. And Adam, we're going to start with you. Adam draws for the Buffalo News. He won a Pulitzer Prize and a ton of other prizes, and he has a special solo exhibition of his work at the end of September at the Cartoon Museum in Saint-Just-le-Martel, France. And welcome back, Adam.
It's a pleasure to be here, Daryl. Thanks for having me.
Here you've got Trump, the butt of the elephant, and he has just pooped, and there's John McCain picking up his poop. This is an old favorite.
That's great, Adam. I love that.
Yeah, 2017, back when there was a lot of news happening with Trump and we were drawing him furiously. The funny one about this is my editor at the time saw it as a very rough sketch. And I don't, you know, my paper, you know, overseas and especially in the UK, like potty humor is not only accepted, but embraced. But
well, my editors here really don't like poop.
They don't like poop. And in some ways, I'm surprised I got away with it. But after the fact, my editor had acknowledged, my editor-in-chief, that the sketch was so rough that the details weren't very clear. the concept was there in the sketch, but, you know, some of the minute details. So I just, yeah, I thought it was, I just liked how his hair also formed a little tail.
Yeah, that's perfect. Very nice. Did you get any reaction from the readers?
I did, yeah. I mean, that was, during that period of time, I had a gentleman that was, I use that word loosely, was threatening me over the course of a year and a half that started with the initial campaign that Trump had. And this was one that triggered him a little bit. But overall, I got this period of time a lot of support from people who were disoriented by the fast pace of what Trump was doing and the news he was creating and the unrest he was causing. So I got probably more positive feedback than negative on this.
Well, this is a lovely one, Adam. This is Garbage Pail Kid's Trump card. Grifting Grandpa. Major announcement. My official Donald Trump digital trading card collection is here. Only $99. Crypto accepted. Free classified document with every purchase. That's funny.
That was a takeoff on his NFT thing.
These were his digital trading cards. And that major announcement is a direct quote with the caps the same that he announced his digital trading cards. So it was really bizarre with this world we're living in. It's just stranger than fiction. You know, you can't, it's hard to satirize reality when it's so bizarre.
I noticed his tie is turning into a snake.
Yes, eating the money from his mega supporters.
Excellent. And here you have Trump gremlin, a new batch of election deniers. This is great.
I'm a child of the 80s. You know, I got the Garbage Pail Kid cards and gremlins. I mean, I'm showing my age when I grew up. I love gremlins. And just the new batch and every new batch of like mega supporters that is perpetuating this, they seem a little bit more, you know, something is extra missing from them.
I find myself drawing stuff from the 70s, and I see Randy drawing comic strip allusions to the 1930s all the time.
Exactly.
I love it.
because I've been looking at some old books lately, and I just love them so much.
Oh, that explains it.
Yeah.
Here you have Trump the sow with all of the piglets on his nipples. They hang Mike Pence, Trump 2020, the Confederate battle flag, stop the steal. They are being fed by him. It's great. Yeah.
This one was taken down on social media, and I'm guessing because of the news. Maybe, but it's just the algorithms. They catch things, you know, possibly someone complained about it. You never know exactly what
I think. I think it happens from a complaint and they automatically take it down with a complaint. I've got
I do know that the algorithm catches a lot of that stuff automatically, like any sort of Klan image, swastika, right. Hitler, Confederate flag, the algorithm catches it.
I was thinking the noose could be it, but.
Are you thinking just of Facebook?
Specifically Facebook.
This was Facebook.
Facebook is the one where I notice things taken down more than any place else.
And you'll get thrown in Facebook jail for posting something like that.
Well, I have four Facebook pages and I put the same thing on all of them. And I notice that when something gets taken down, it only gets taken down on one out of four. Wow. And I think that's because somebody complained about that one.
That's a good test.
So here you've got Trump as Uncle Sam with doing his loser sign with his now tiny hands. He says, I want you to be a loser and sucker for the U.S. Army. Oh. That's very nice.
Yeah, he gave that to us. That was a gift.
And you try to, if you ever get in a debate with some of these people, you try to tell them about that. They don't believe it. Just flat don't
they
believe
don't,
it.
Yeah. It's just like selective reasoning. They don't see the stories or hear the things. And if they do, and if you tell them, they think that this was a fake news story perpetuated by the liberal media, that he didn't really say that, and it was taken out of context. They give him 1,000 excuses, even when it's on, you know, like an actual clip of him saying
coming,
something.
Or, an actual clip coming from his mouth.
Right.
Or
in person, hearing it from his own mouth.
Right. Exactly.
Here's a George Floyd cartoon. You've got Fire Chief Trump with his knee on the neck of the fire hose that can't put out the racial unrest. I think that's so iconic.
This one I got a lot of pushback on, a lot of hate mail. I'm glad you remembered that the news story and like his pose, because that was kind of critical to it. But
did people not get that? I mean, how can they forget that?
At the time they did. But it was taken, you know, it's a lot of times when I have a cartoon like touches a nerve, they'll claim that I'm being offensive to, you know, I'm being racially insensitive and I'm offending somebody else, like the victims, even though the person complaining.
Did people think this was racially insensive?
Not people of color, but like people, you know, again, it's like a misdirection.
It's the Trump supporters that don't like.
Right. But they'll claim I'm being racist. It's like this weird, you know, doublespeak where, there's no other response to it other than I'm being racist myself, by calling him racist. It's, you know, it's like a circle. It's just like a circle logic. And, yeah, I think just because the topic was so touchy. And I think when you know, if you're a Trump supporter, you know, maybe deep down you might know this is a vulnerability and he's wrong, and you don't want to admit it. You know, you get defensive when something touches a nerve.
So the news guy on TV is reading about the House Intel Committee, and he says, "We've been made aware of a serious national security threat related to Russia." Trump says, "I would encourage Russia to do whatever the hell they want." And the news guy says, "I can't really say any more now."
Oh. Yeah, I mean, what presidential candidate said something like that? It's just, it's mind-boggling.
He doesn't like Ukraine, and he kind of likes Putin.
Yeah.
Here he is with his golden tennis shoe, and Trump says, "There's an old woman who lives in a shoe. She's only 3 or more like a 2. Comes to my rallies and with all of the schmucks and bought my new sneakers for $400.
That's great.
The beautiful drawing of the shoe.
Yeah.
Very nice painting. The gold on the shoe.
Who doesn't want a gold tennis shoe?
It's hard to paint gold.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that green undertone.
Oh, I should add that this is Rick McKee. Rick McKee was the cartoonist for decades for the Augusta Chronicle in Georgia. He draws the comic strip Pluggers, and we have syndicated Rick for 20 years. And Rick is one of our podcast favorites who draws great tennis shoes.
Yeah.
So here you've got the MAGA guy, and he's on the phone. And he says, "Quick, woman, get the checkbook. Honest Don needs help paying his $464 million fraud judgment." That's so true. You don't even exaggerate.
I tried to throw in, you know, little things like the rotary phone, live, laugh, love.
That's fun. And his shirt is good.
Now, talk about putting a lot of stuff on the hat.
Here's a serious MAGA hat. "Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole country." Yeah, who says that?
Yeah, this one got some pushback, and even from some of our more conservative cartoonists on the site. But
did you get other cartoonists complaining about your cartoon?
Not to me personally, but I mean, I've heard, you know, stuff, and to say that that's not what he meant is just disingenuous. I mean,
of course, it's exactly what he said. Of course,
yeah, it's exactly what he said, and he likes to hide behind these things where, you know, he pretends like he was talking about something else. This is what he meant, you know, and that's what he said.
You know, I do get complaints from some of our liberal cartoonists about our conservative cartoonists.
I imagine so. I mean, some of that stuff that I've seen is just kind of insane.
Yes, sometimes they do some crazy stuff. Crazier, I think, than the liberal cartoonists do. But so here you've got your 2024 undecided voter, and he says, my heart is telling me to vote for Trump, but the voices in my head are telling me to vote for RFK Jr. And he's got all the crazy noise on his buttons. That's great.
Birds are
a great
real.
Character.
Birds aren't real, yeah.
You know that theory, right? Birds
tell
are
me real. That.
No. They're all robots created by the CIA, and they're spying on us.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if you've ever looked that one up. But
I you know, that's wild.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, but that's one of them.
Report
that's out
back
there.
To the lizard people under the earth. Is that kind of
I guess so?
Out?
Yeah, the pedophile lizard people at the pizza place.
Right.
Well, when Bob Kennedy Jr. is president, we're going to have a lot more interesting little theory.
The worm in his head. Yeah.
The worm in his head.
I just uploaded that one.
It really makes the conservative cartoonists and the MAGA people angry when you draw MAGA people looking stupid.
I know, which is why I
do. Yeah.
But they look stupid.
It just incenses them more than anything else. You make all the fun in the world of Trump, but you make fun of them. And
wait a minute.
Crazy.
Hold on a second. You said it makes the conservative cartoonists angry.
It makes the MAGA people angry. It makes the conservative cartoonists angry. But
Are you hearing from the conservative cartoonists about
that? Oh, yeah. It bothers them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're complaining. The things you draw that bother them the most is this.
Really?
It's funny. It's funny that cartoonists are complaining. I mean, I think any cartoonist can draw anything. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm more of a, I can't imagine complaining. Even if I really don't like that cartoon, I don't complain about it. I mean,
well, you guys are not among complainers. But I get angry email from our cartoonists about the cartoons that other cartoonists draw. Yeah,
that is mind-blowing to me.
Oh, that's
that does blow my mind a little bit.
All right. Well, just know that you're doing a good job of offending those. So here you get Trump, and he's mooning the Statue of Justice, and he says, "What? Why?" As he's held in contempt of court. That's great.
He's been held in contempt before, and I reposted this recently after his latest thing, but I don't think people remember that.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, 2022.
What court case was that? 2 years ago.
I don't even remember.
Oh, maybe, probably Eugene Carroll.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was it.
So you got here, Trump, your title for this was Trump hoisted on his own petard. And I think that's hilarious because who knows what a petard is. And he's going to be hoisted on that. Makes me laugh. That's great.
That's a great, simple image. Did you get pushback on that?
Like, no.
The news gives me problems with reading
the news
feedback.
Is kind of a symbol that touches off Black people, and no matter what context it's used on, like this, which is, I don't think there's any racial context to this, but
you know, I didn't hear from anybody on this one. So
here I put in another one of my embarrassing
look at that.
This one's also from 2011.
Yeah, he's a little more handsome.
Skinny
nice
Trump.
Hairdo.
Hair's great.
I'm embarrassed by this. He should be fat. He should have the red tie and the blue suit. His face should be different. And,
he looks
good. 2011?
Yeah. We're talking about Obama, I think, back in 2011.
Well, for the record, I did not see this before I did mine, but that's great.
Oh, yours is funnier. I like the petard thing, which nobody's going to see because it's in the title and they don't print the titles. Randy Enos is a legendary cartoonist illustrator. In high school in the 1970s, I admired Randy's strip Chicken Guts, which was the lead strip for the comic section in every issue of the National Lampoon, which I loved as a high school student. Randy has drawn for just about every publication, the New York Times, Playboy, Time, Sports Illustrated, The Atlantic, Rolling Stone, more publications than anyone can list. And we had a bunch of Randy's old illustrating stories in my DarylCagle.com blog. You should Google them. They are great reads. And Randy, this is a great cartoon. You've got all of these horrified people with their very iconic Randy Enos teeth.
Right. I had art directors that used to call that the telephone dial mouth. I always felt bad about doing that because I had a friend, cartoonist named Warren Sattler, who did mouths and he did a ring of teeth. That's the way I remember it. He did a ring of teeth and I always felt that I had copied him. So one day, a million years later, I was lecturing at a little college out here. And Warren was in the audience. He was visiting there because his kid wanted to go to college there, and he was looking it over. And I mentioned that. I threw a slide up on the screen, and I was telling him how I had copied this from him. And after the lecture, he says, "Randy, I never drew a mouth like that in my life." So I guess I didn't copy him. I don't know.
That's crazy. I should add that Randy is making his old cartoons as linoleum block cuts. He's cutting into the linoleum block with a knife and then inking it with a ruler, printing it on paper, and scanning it in his computer.
I used a nail set, by the way. I used to use, instead of the cutting tools, I used a carpenter nail set to make those little dots with a little.
Oh, so the teeth were bang, easy. Bang, 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 just bang, punch, bang. Punch, punch.
Yeah, you know.
Very good. I'm glad you're not my dentist. Okay, so here's Trump's past poop about to hit the fan. You've even got
so you're doing your shoe. Color on the computer?
Yeah, I was doing the color on the computer in these days.
Here you were? Because you used to paint these onto your lino cuts in color.
No. Well, oh, yes. Well, that's a whole other story. But that's with the magazine illustrations. And when I had more time, like if I had an hour to do an illustration instead of 20 minutes, you know. So it's a long, complicated procedure. I used to use Pantone papers. Do you remember them? You know, Pantone? Yeah. Anybody remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
They stopped making them now. I still got a ton of them. Well, I used to ink the block red, print on a green paper, ink it red again, print on a yellow paper, ink it blue, print on a green paper, the whole picture. I could theoretically take this whole picture and print it several times, different colored inks on different colored papers. Then I'd cut the pieces out that I wanted to from all the different illustrations or the different prints and paste it together.
Wow.
I didn't have to go through that with this kind of situation, but that was when I was making big full-blown color illustrations, you know. It was a long, complicated process. One time I did a rush job for Time magazine, and we didn't have time for a rough or anything. And so quickly over the phone, I told him what I'd do, and he says, "That's great." And I said, "I'll get right on it." And he says, "Okay, I'm putting a car on the road to come and get it for it, you know, limo to come and pick it up for you right now." Because in those days, Time would send a limo to your house in Westport. Westport was full of illustrators, you know, and so they would send the car to pick up the job. So here I am.
Wow.
I'm drawing on the lino cut. I am cutting like a maniac. I've got all my colored papers there. I'm rolling print all this time. I'm visualizing this guy on the road. He's on the Merritt Parkway on his way to my house. And talk about pressure. That's the kind of pressure we used to work with sometimes, these things, you know.
Wow. That's wild. I love the black texture that's got like that noise. I love that's like not a solid black, like just part of the, is that just part of the process? I think it would.
I think that is my main attraction to this medium. I think was the fact
the imperfection.
Yeah, the imperfections that would show up. And so now I'm trying to work it into my ink drawings. I'm having a heck of a time. But, you know, and of course, Daryl will remember in Chicken Guts, I was blotting all the time. I was sticking my thumb in the ink puddles, and I'd have blotches all over the paper, you know. And sometimes I'd write oops on it, you know, and put an arrow. But the textual things is the thing I miss the most. The reason I'm not doing lino blocks anymore is because of arthritis in the fingers. It's a little harder to grip the cutters and do that pushing and do the printing. And also because I have a big studio in my basement, which I'm not using anymore. And I needed that kind of room down there that I have. And now I'm upstairs just on a small drawing board, and I just don't have the room to do it. So I switched to pen and ink and colored pencils, which is actually the first medium I ever used. In my early pictures, like one of my earliest clients was Playboy magazine, and I started out doing pen and ink things and with colored pencils. And over the years, with working for Playboy, I switched styles three times on them until I got into the lino cuts.
I should say I was in high school in the early 70s, and I was a big fan of the National Lampoon, and Randy's cartoons led off the comics section. They had a big comics section in every issue. And his was always on page one of the comics section. And it just looked so different than anything else that I was used to in comics or cartoon drawings at all.
And that's what I was trying to do.
It was actually quite bold of them to put that on the front of the comics section, and it was wild and crazy looking, and that was fun. That loosened me up at a time when I needed some loosening up and in high school drawing too stiff. It was wonderful. The National Lampoon was wonderful, and
those were the good old days. The Lampoon never gave me any flack about anything. You could do anything you want. There was no censorship. The only problem I has had was I would forget to put commas in. So the editor that would edit things, she would tell me where I have to put commas in, or she'd put them in my strip. They wanted commas in the balloons, you know. She said to me, Randy, if you just put a comma after every word, it would be easier for me than to have to put in all the ones you forget. So, that's the only critique I ever got from them.
They didn't have any computers then, so it was hard for them to make all those changes.
Exactly. And my best clients are people like Playboy and even NBC, where they never gave me any, there was no critique about what you had to do. And often I had many, many clients where I didn't even have to show a rough. Boy Scout magazine, wow. You never have to show a rough. I'm too long-winded. So I'm not going to get into these stories, but
well, here's another Lino cut cartoon. Yeah, I love your Lino cut cartoons. I've got one of your Lino cut cartoons here in the living room here with the Lino and not the print, and it's lovely as the carved block.
Did I send you a Lino?
Yes.
I don't remember that. What is it of?
It's of a school teacher. My wife says a math teacher. Tell you what, I'm going to go take a picture of it, and in post-production, I'll stick it in here so you can. You are looking at Randy's Lino cut that hangs in my living room. Yeah, so here you have it. Trump hugging the Trumpy dog, and he says, "There's a lot of love here, a lot of love. I love for America. It's a beautiful thing, unbelievable." That's very funny.
I don't know. I don't remember even doing that one.
That's wonderful, and it's so you.
Orange hair, yeah.
The pink but circle mouth, you know?
Yeah. I stay away from some of this kind of stylization because I figure editors are just going to turn off on it completely.
But it's fun, and it's very powerful, and it's very different. And every so often...
You're emboldening me.
Shock people with something bold.
America first, folks. Remember that?
Oh. You know, there is a...
I don't know what that means.
You know, the Europeans complain about American cartoonists being all the same. And I say, no, that's not true. We've got all these different styles. But I think what they're reacting to is an illustrated quality that fills the space. But I like to mix it up. And I think that something like this every so often is great to shock the reader on the page. And, you know, you're shocking them without bad words and obscenity just by a graphic look. And... I like that.
I am so glad to hear you say that, because I hold myself back from doing a lot of things that I really want to do, but I'm trying to stay a little straighter. My new incarnation. I'm gonna go back to it. You're encouraging me.
Excellent. Here you've got Trump and Mussolini. That's looking good. I think your Lino block works for that. Very nice with the undersides of the neck.
Very stylized.
Love that.
And the British firing at Air Force One, historic print from the Trump collection. I didn't quite understand this one.
That's because Trump made a statement in one of his speeches. He was talking about the revolutionary times, and he talked about how brave our soldiers were and how they had to fight against the British and how they had to protect the airport. Uh-huh. I said, protect the airports? This man thinks that there were airplanes, and we were fighting the Air Force. So that's where this came from. And
Very good.
And I've been making fun of that comment of his ever since. I think that's one of his most outrageous comments.
But you know, as outrageous as that is, and as you would think that would be a memorable thing, he says so much. It's such an avalanche.
Right. It's all outrageous. Yeah.
Almost
that you forget a lot of it.
Just like to the outrage.
You know, you'd think you'd remember if a former president had been held in contempt before, and if it was anybody but Trump. If Biden had ever been held in contempt for anything, everybody would remember it. But because it's Trump, and it's such an avalanche of crap that, you know, and I think
conventional rules don't apply.
I think that's his strategy.
The old rule used to be that a cartoonist could just exaggerate what's in the news, but when the news itself is exaggerated so much, you have to go different directions and be a little more clever and make some decisions that aren't just simple exaggeration. And I think that makes our job harder, but it's something that we should have been doing all along.
Yeah, I would agree. It's hard to satirize when it's just so insane already.
Many cartoons I see are simply just illustrations of the crazy world as it is.
Right,
right.
So here you got the card black, card white, card up, card down, and they are all the opposites. And Trump got all the questions wrong on his test from the, and that's very funny.
There's his doctor. That's his, what's his name?
Yeah. It's his doctor's teeth, too. Yeah, yeah. First the rats, then the children. You've got your Pied Piper Trump. We all draw a Pied Piper Trump. This is an excellent one.
Right. Thanks.
Trump's odor revealed. Pew, smells like armpits, ketchup, a butt, and makeup. Give the boss a break. All his shower stalls are full of secret documents with a little 1930s running off. Here you've got nothing but blue pants to identify Trump with.
And no, the red tie. And the red tie. And the smell.
Yeah. Of course. Very good. I'll edit that out so I sound smarter. Here's Foxy News, and she says, "Sir, can you sum up in one word what your basic goal is if you win back the presidency?" And he says, "Yes, revenge." Oh, now, there's no exaggeration there. This is, you're just drawing what's on the news. I mean, there was a time when we would exaggerate.
Right, yeah.
And this is lovely.
Yeah, it's great.
Join or die. Very nice. Very nice. I could see that tattooed on my chest. Yeah. If you ever get an email from someone who made a tattoo out of one of your cartoons?
Yes, me.
I did, yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it's very crazy. Well, mine was an illustration for Rolling Stone of, what's his name? I can never think of the guy's name. The guy that thinks he looks like Mick Jagger, you know, the guitarist, Tyler.
Steven Tyler?
Steven Tyler, yeah. I did Steven Tyler, right. I did Steven Tyler with his flamboyant clothes, but spilling out of his mouth are all his outrageous colors and stuff. I kept them off the body. I kept the body sort of black and white and everything spilling out of his mouth. So it's a pretty large illustration. And so years ago, this guy wrote to me and he said that he was afraid to write to me, but 5 years before he had this illustration tattooed on his back. And he showed me photographs of this tattoo artist who looked like she was about 16 years old tattooing on his back. And from his neck down to his waist is this big Steven Tyler.
Oh my God.
Wow.
And
makes you wonder who he should pay the royalty on his back to.
That's right. He was
is it
afraid.
To you or to Steven
he
Tyler?
He was afraid to contact me. And the only reason he did contact me was because he had a little space on his upper right back, and he wanted to know if I had any pictures of Tom Petty.
Golly.
And that's where he should have put your signature.
He also had pictures of himself with
I'm gonna go Google Steven.
I'm
Tyler
Googling it right now. I know.
Okay.
I can't find it. That's
gotta be out there.
How can you find it? I've never seen it on any of the not YouTube, but the Google Images.
There is a cartoon you did with Kegel of Steven Tyler. But it's not the same.
Oh,
one.
That's another
it's
one.
It's a giant mouth, but it looks
right. No, that I know that one. No, that's different.
So here's Trump with his money head, and he looks like a tree. Contempt charges. Tell us about this one, Randy.
Contempt charges. I don't remember now what this is.
I wonder if this is back from 2010.
Oh, well, I guess maybe spring had just come or something, and I'm showing the tree, and I just wanted to make him look like a tree, and all the money that he was expending for these contempt charges he was facing.
Here you've got him putting together the truth, and the truth is not quite right.
I love big black letters like that, playing with the space.
Here's your round Trump. Definitely not a flight risk.
When he first started going to the court things.
Yeah, there's no chance he's going to fly. It looks great.
Yeah.
And here are your MAGA people. They're all doing their Nazi salutes. Well, of course, that just drives them crazy for you to draw something like this, but editors don't like any Nazi references like this.
Well, if he gets elected, they're going to have to get used to it.
You know, again, it's not an exaggeration because you've got Charlottesville and you've got plenty of nutty Nazis who are going to be going out and voting.
Well, I mean, you got Trump quoting Hitler, you know, at his rallies.
I did a whole podcast on Trump Hitler.
Yeah, his favorite author.
The summer blizzard of Trump books. There was that time when all the Trump books fell at the same time, I think just strategically a few months before the election.
Yep.
I did a blizzard of, this is one of mine.
There you go.
Blizzard of Trump books as well. And I'm sorry?
Yours is better.
Oh, well, I enjoyed drawing this one.
Beautiful
and I like yours. Yours has much more action.
That's
but
great.
I love drawing this, and I don't think it got printed much. It wasn't something that...
I like that one.
Yeah.
It's simple, but there's detail. Like it's it doesn't take a lot to get through, but you can sit and look at it for a while. Mm-hmm. I think mine was the bird.
Because these are the actual books.
Right. That's what makes it kind of cool.
Actually, that is so easy to do in Photoshop because these book covers are rectangles. So you just drag each corner onto the little blank books I drew. And I've never had a chance to do that again.
Mm, it's such a tech whiz.
Hey, that is the last one. We are at the end of our podcast, gentlemen.
Okay.
I enjoyed having you guys.
Adam, it's good to see you. And Randy, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Rick.
It's great to see you, Rick.
And Adam.
Excellent. You guys are great on the podcast, and we'll just have to do a whole bunch more.
Okay.
Sounds good.
So remember to like and subscribe to the Kegelcast wherever you're watching this, and join our mailing list at kegel.com/subscribe, and you will never miss out on a new Kegelcast, and I will keep you updated on all the best, most popular cartoons as they come out and any interesting cartoon news that happens. So kegel.com/subscribe, and we do appreciate your subscribing on YouTube because we really are trying to make this work on YouTube. Gentlemen, again, thank you for joining me, and I will see you next time, and appreciate you coming.
Bye.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Daryl.
See you later.